Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process. I am your host, Greg Wareham. I appreciate you taking the time today. So as I was preparing for what we're going to talk about today, I was thinking about the markets and how they've been over the course of the past couple of years. And as we all know, if you're in real estate or the mortgage market, the market's been a little bit tight and we haven't been making the money that we've been accustomed to making during the COVID years. But still, people are still successful, right? So I was thinking, what are some habits of very successful people? So I wrote down some thoughts around successful people, backed up with some different data. So I want to go over with you 9 habits of very successful people. And I'm going to start with number one. Number one is get up early. So 50% of self-made millionaires get up at 5 a.m., 50% of them. The further you push out that wake-up time, the less probability that you have in becoming a multimillionaire. So if you get up at 5 o'clock, that's great. So what are you doing during that time frame? And the thing that people want to condition themselves to do is to think about, what are the top 3 things that I'm looking to accomplish today? So if you're in sales, maybe some of those are, I need to make X amount of contacts, I need to follow up with X amount of people, and I need to set X amount of appointments. Or maybe it's I need to set a certain amount of appointments, close a certain amount of deals, and so forth. But you really need to define what it is that you're looking to accomplish going into your day. How do you do that? You do that by getting up early and staying ahead of the curve. And when I was reading about the 5 a.m. deadline, I was thinking about Mark Wahlberg. And I don't know if people know his workout routine, but I think Mark Wahlberg gets up somewhere like 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning so he can work out and stay ahead of the game. Now, what's the sacrifice with that? Sacrifice with that is, well, maybe he can't stay up waiting, watching late night with anybody, right? Jimmy Kimmel. I was going to say David Letterman, but I was going to date myself. So maybe you're not staying up watching late night TV and you're getting to bed early and you're waking up early. So that's number one. Number two, they read a lot. Now, I got to be honest with everybody that's listening today. This isn't one that comes in my natural wheelhouse, but I've trained myself over the course of past several years to ensure that I'm reading as much as I possibly can. Now, statistically, multimillionaires read 30 minutes a day. 88% of them read at least 30 minutes a day. Now, again, do I read 30 minutes every day? Probably not. But, you know, over the course of the week, I certainly hit that 3.5 hours worth of reading. The other thing that I would suggest is with your reading, you know, balance it. You know, you probably want to read some things that may be fictional that you enjoy and you can put it, it helps your mind visualize and picture things, because we all know when it comes to creativity, visualizing and picturing things are extremely important. But you also may want to balance that with some different type of reading that's tactical and how you're approaching things in your life. And whether or not, I don't like to say self-help books because I don't subscribe to them, but there's a lot of books that are written out there, whether it's about money or it's about sales or it's about lifestyle or it's about your marriage, it's about relationships. There's so many different things that have been written out there that have been written by experts that have lived through it and researched it. So number two, you want to read 30 minutes a day. 88% of multimillionaires do that. Number three, 15 to 30 minutes of focused thinking. And I'm going to extrapolate on this one a little bit. I'm a big fan of this one, and I do it personally. So when you're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're having your cup of coffee, you're having your cup of tea, your water, your juice, whatever it is your routine is, spend the time thinking about what you're trying to accomplish. I'd mentioned earlier that you want to list the 3 things you're trying to accomplish, but this is where you really want to put information around that. So it's great to say, I need to call X amount of people today, but you got to also think about, well, who am I calling? What's my message? How am I going to come across? And you got to visualize this stuff. And you visualize it before you then implement the strategy for the rest of the day. I'm also very passionate about this being isolated time. So you really want to spend the time in your own head. You know, for me, I'm sitting on the couch drinking my coffee, looking out the window thinking. My dad always used to make fun of me because he'd tell me I was staring at the mountain. And I use it now with my kids. You know, what's dad doing? Assuming they're up at 5 a.m., which they're not. But if they were, what's dad doing? I'm staring at the mountain. And I'm trying to figure out what it is that I'm trying to accomplish in any given day, week, month, or year. The other portion of that is the relaxation end of it. I think if you're a type A personality, we have a tendency to be extremely racy. And taking that time to calm yourself down, pull the camera back with what you have going on over the course of the day, and really think about how you're going to come across over the course of the day. To kind of expand on that personally, for me, I tell myself, you have to figure out how you're going to be calm and approach things in a very methodical fashion over the course of the day. And, you know, some days I wake up and I just feel that way, but the overwhelming majority of the time, I'm racy, man. I'm racy, I'm ready to go, my mind's racing, and I really need to have the discipline to calm that all down, get it all out in front of me. So number three was 15 to 30 minutes a day of focused thinking. Number four, exercise, making it a priority. It's a big thing for me. So I almost feel like it's a little bit of a baited statement because I'm so passionate about it. Statistically, though, 76% of multimillionaires exercise at least 30 minutes per day. In my opinion, it's not enough, but it's 30 minutes a day, whether or not that's running, that's yoga, that's weightlifting, you know, it's bicycling, that's swimming, whatever it is, you're exercising for those 30 minutes a day. I will say this, that my experience personally when it comes to a disciplined exercise routine is that you have to commit to it, right? Are you going to do it 3 days a week, 5 days a week, 7 days a week? You know, whatever that math is that works for you to give you that average of 30 minutes a day or 3.5 hours over the course of the week, you got to put your plan together and you got to implement the plan. I was giving you my routine, the 5 a.m., the coffee, the thinking about what I'm going to do, the planning, the three things I need to accomplish. And then after I'm done doing that, I'm hitting the gym right away. And I time myself. I give myself 1 hour, not 1 hour and 10 minutes, not 45 minutes. You know, it's a 1 hour routine. And sometimes that can consist of walking. I don't run because I'm too old and I got a little bit of what I call a Jimmy hip, if anyone's ever seen Seinfeld. So I walk sometimes, weightlifting, you know, but I mix it up a little bit to make it interesting for me on a day-to-day basis. So number four, exercise. Before I hop off that topic, I cannot emphasize enough how much that will help calm you down, relieve stress, and have you work off some of that extra energy, especially if you're a type A type of person. Number five, spend time with people that inspire them. This is a really great one, and I've kind of lived on both sides of the coin with this. You know, I've had years where I'm not spending time with anybody that inspires me, and I can feel myself starting to get pulled. I don't like to say down, that's not the right way to put it, but I feel myself being pulled laterally. And I don't feel myself being pulled up. And then I've had other times in my career where I've worked with people that I would look up to as to what they've accomplished, or they have a different spin or thought process as to how they've gotten where they're at. And when I'm in that environment, I grow. You know, surrounding yourself with people that are growth oriented and that can inspire you will help you be more growth oriented and help you inspire others. A friend of mine once told me, if you get into a room with the five people you associate with the most, add up their income, divide by five, and that's how much money you're going to make per year. And think about that when you're figuring out who you're spending time with and how you're spending time with them. You're only as successful as the people that you're associated with. Nobody accomplishes anything on their own. We'd like to think that we're self-made. The reality is none of us are. Somewhere along the way, there was a mentor or someone there from a support standpoint that pulled you up to help get you where you're looking to go. Number five, pursue your own goals. I've been a guy that's been on the corporate end of business. I've been on the self-employed end of business, and I've jockeyed both at the same time. And I will tell you this, when you start to focus on other institutions or people's goals, all you're doing is tearing away that emotional and intellectual intelligence that you have to be able to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. And hey, maybe that's why I ended up in some sort of a sales and sales leadership capacity over the years. But you got to pursue your own goals. Now, you can also help people pursue their own goals as well, which could be a goal in and of yourself, where helping other people helps you. That's one of the goals that you're trying to accomplish. Also, most people that have experienced very high levels of personal and monetary success, 80% of them are borderline obsessed over the goals that they're going after. And listen, you don't need 20 different goals, but what are the top three? What are the top three that you're trying to accomplish? Maybe it's just start at the top one that you're trying to accomplish and then back in how you're going to get there. Number seven, another one I really subscribe to, get enough sleep. 89% of people that have a net worth of $5 million or more get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. It's counterintuitive, right? Because you think those people that are really successful are the ones that are grinding it out 24/7. But the reality is they get their rest because they understand that sleep is a critical part for you to maintain staying in a very creative space. It's a very important part of making sure that your memory's sharp. Very important part of your creative thinking and your overall sharpness, right? So make sure you're getting enough sleep. I had read somewhere that LeBron James, obviously a different category than an athlete, in the off season, the guy's getting 10 to 12 hours of sleep a night. And he's doing, and think about how busy someone like him is. He's getting that type of sleep because he understands the importance of being able to recharge your batteries and be more effective in the time you have if you're well rested. Number eight, have multiple income streams. 65% of people that are worth $5 or more million have three different streams of income. And let's talk about that. It's not necessarily that you're working three different jobs. It's if you're in sales, as an example. Are you receiving income from people that you're managing? Do you have your own income that you're receiving from commission? Is there a salary component to that? You know, is there side hustle is the big thing. Do you have some sort of side hustle venture that you're doing to earn income? Do you have real estate that's earning passive income? Do you have a company that's earning income? But if you really want to be able to accomplish success and have wealth, on average, you're going to have at least three different streams of income. Well, why? Well, you're diversified. It's the same reason when you're investing in your 401k, your IRA, your SEP IRA every month, you're not putting everything into one individual stock. It's too volatile. Most people are putting them into mutual funds that diversify the risk. In addition to that, they're further diversifying by putting some money in blue chip companies, some in overseas companies, some in startup tech companies. Diversification allows you to succeed in any market. And when they're all hitting at the same time, bam, that's when things skyrocket out of control from a success standpoint and from an income standpoint. And number nine, I would say avoid time wasters. I personally am a big one with this. I'm that guy that actually brings his lunch to work. And it's just because I want to work and be efficient in the time that I'm working. And when I'm with my family, I want to be very present and engaged in that activity. If I'm in the gym, I'm present and I'm engaged. I'm not really multitasking. You know, I'm not on the phone in the gym talking to different people. No, I'm banging out my workout. I'm getting it done. I'm moving on to the next task. We may have spoken about this at other times before, but multitasking is a fallacy. Nobody can multitask. It's a term that was put together to try to explain what computers can do, where they can allocate certain percentages of a CPU towards individual tasks and still perform those tasks at a high level. People don't do that. You know, people focus on an individual task, complete the task, move on to the next task, and that's what makes you efficient. Well, why? Well, if you start a task and then you stop it, and then you go do something else, and then you come back to the task, do you pick up where you left off? The answer is overwhelmingly no, because you have to go back to closer to the beginning of that task to remind yourself where you were in the process so you can pick up and then finish the task. So it's extremely inefficient. So you want to avoid the time wasters that are associated in what your day-to-day looks like. And included in that is thinking that you can work on multiple things at the same time. That's a time waster. If you're very successful and you ask an extremely successful person, what's the most valuable commodity? What do you think they're going to say? Money, resources, support, maybe. But overwhelmingly, the answer that you're going to get is time. And you have to reframe your paradigm as to how important time is in your day-to-day life. And once you start to prioritize time as your most valuable and your most important commodity, you'll be much more focused on how you're allocating that time. And as a result of that, you're going to be more successful in what you're doing. The old Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. All right, what am I spending my time doing? Am I wasting it doing 80? Is 20% of my income coming from something that I do 20% of the time? Is 80% of my income coming from 20% of my time? Like, you got to look at this stuff and figure out, hey, how am I going to allocate my time to make sure that as close to 100% of my time is focused on the things that are going to give me 100% of the result I'm looking or I'm desired to go after? So hopefully that makes sense. You know, as I'm talking through things, I'm actually going to add number 10. And number 10 is moderate your alcohol intake and moderate what it is that you're eating. You know, garbage in, garbage out. And I really am a big proponent of bodies are like cars or like a machine, right? What you put in it really matters. It's the same reason why some people go to the pump and only put 93 octane in their car. They think it's more efficient, gives them better gas mileage, keeps their motor cleaner, and they don't want to use 87. And I'm not saying whether or not that's right or not right. I'm not going to tell you the kind of gas I use. But it's, you know, what's coming into your body is going to directly impact your cognitive ability, the energy level that you have, and your overall state of mind. So please, watch what you eat. And I'm not trying to preach to everybody, but you really want to be cognitive of these type of things if you want the most impact for the time that you have in any given day. So I'm going to go through them all real quickly. Get up early, 5 a.m. Got to read a lot. 88% of multimillionaires read at least 30 minutes a day, 15 to 30 minutes on focused thinking, do it in an isolated spot, have a spot that you do it, make sure it's your time. Exercise, making it a priority, 76% of people spend at least 30 minutes a day exercising, reduces stress and increases your energy. Spend time with people that inspire you. Pursue your own goals, don't chase the goals of somebody else. You know, write your book, don't let someone else write it for you, not to sound so cliche. Get enough sleep, 7 to 8 hours a night. 89% of successful people do that. Have multiple income streams. Target at least 3. Avoid time wasters because time is your most valuable commodity. And make sure that you're taking care of your body with what you're putting into it. So I hope that helps. I hope it has some value for everyone. If you ever want to drop me a line, just shoot me an email at greg@yourmortgageprocess.com. And I appreciate, again, your time today. Look forward to catching up with you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of Your Mortgage Process, hosted by Greg Wareham, produced by Greg Wareham and Nick Pavese at The Social Rift, and executively produced by The Social Rift. Thank you again for tuning in, and we look forward to catching up with you next week.